the gospel following where Clive has been reading, the gospel by John chapter 11. John's delightful, simplistic, profound. Seems rather contradictory, doesn't it? But it is. A very, very simple but a deeply profound record of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 11. Many of you, perhaps all of you, are familiar with this passage. Verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha, and Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that said to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. And we'll go down the passage, please. Then verse 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now we'll go down to verse 23. Jesus said unto her, that is Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, down the passage, down the chapter further, for time's sake, and they've removed the stone, verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, Hear them, loose him, and let him go. Now that's as much as we need to read this evening. I'm not going to follow perhaps the normal way of looking at this beautiful chapter of the power of the Lord Jesus in resurrection, but there are 5 statements concerning Lazarus that I do want to bring to your attention. Firstly, in verse number 1, we have this statement made, Lazarus of Bethany. Then in verse 2, we have Lazarus was sick. Verse number 5, we have Jesus loved and will omit Martha and her sister, and he loved them as well. And we have Jesus loved Lazarus. Then we'll go down to verse 14 where the Lord Jesus says plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then finally, I want us to think and look at that glorious cry of the Lord Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus of Bethany. Clive has been looking at the parables in these past nights, and there's nothing wrong with parables. They were earthly stories, just everyday stories. Maybe some of them were realities that happened, maybe some not, but they were used to illustrate something that had a very special spiritual meaning. This is not a parable. This is a real thing. This is something that happened, and I want us to think Lazarus of Bethany. Lazarus was a real man. A real person. He lived in the world just like you and I are living here tonight. He breathed, he ate, he slept, he worked. There came a day, of course, when Lazarus died. But Lazarus, can I be so bold? Let's change it. William. Mary, Ruth, George, and maybe if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can just in your own mind just put your name there. A real person. Lazarus of Bethany. Let's slide Bethany out and we'll put Mornington or Dunedin or Mosgiel or just wherever in the city. You see, now can you see yourself here as pictured? A real thing. Don't get me wrong. Lazarus was a real man and he lived in a real town, Bethany. And it's about a real person, but it also has an application to us. But let's get this. Lazarus lived in a real place, a real person in a real town of Bethany, and you are a real person, and you live in a real place in this world. And just as the Savior came to Lazarus, he wants to come into your life. He wants to intervene in your life. He wants to bring blessing to you in your life. Will you let the Savior speak very personally to you this evening? Will you let the Word of God just reach right into your heart? This is not just airy-fairy. This is not just general. Oh yes, it reaches out to the whole world. But it becomes very, very individual. Clive was reminding us of different experiences and so on. And I think of that situation when Noah was called on to build the ark. You remember God said, build an ark, make an ark. Make provision for men and women and make provision for the animals. And we know that there was only Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight people that came in and the animals. But you see, the animals came from different environments. Some came from the jungle. Some may have come from the desert. Some came from the mountains. Some came from the valleys. Some were animals that perhaps lived in the trees, and some were those that crept on the ground. And they came along very different pathways. But there was only one door that led into the ark. You understand? And when they got to the ark, when they got to the door, it wasn't a boat. Will we all go in or will we all stay out? It was individual. One by one. Sometimes people converse together and they come to the conclusion, we need Jesus Christ as Savior. Sometimes it's husband and wife. Sometimes it's even almost the whole family. And they come to this conclusion, we need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And maybe they come from different experiences. Father and mother are older. Some of the children younger. Some perhaps are just young children. Some are teenagers. Some may be in their 20s. But when it comes to salvation, it's not a family vote. It's one by one. It's individual. I wonder how many people imagine that if I die without Christ, and if I miss out on salvation, and if when I come to that great judgment of the great white throne in heaven, I'll say, Lord, I always left these things to my husband. Yeah. Or perhaps some men might say, Lord, you know that my wife was a very difficult woman, and I would have trusted Jesus. No, no, you can't come up with an excuse like that. It's individual. Lazarus of Bethany. Oh, but Lazarus, your sisters Mary and Martha, they love the Lord Jesus. Can't. No, no, no. Lazarus of Bethany. You. From Dunedin, from Mosgiel, from wherever. God wants to speak to your heart. In fact, I say more, God is speaking to your heart. Yes. Oh, but I wonder, has God elected me? Has God chosen me? You're here tonight because God wants to save you. I tell you that. You're here because God wants to save you. And God has a plan of salvation for your soul. And He's not excluded anyone. And He's not given you or someone else special preference. He wants to save you. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe God has to speak loudly. Maybe God has to speak solemnly. Maybe God has had to speak repeatedly. But the sad thing is that one day He will speak for the last time. But tonight, He is speaking in mercy. Oh, the Savior God. What a Christ we have. The Savior loves you. He died to save you. He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. I just wish I could put it into words that were even more. How can you get more understanding than Jesus Christ loves you and died to save you? We don't need academic ability. We don't need degrees to understand this. I'm not despising those who have academic ability, or those who have a degree, or those who have this wisdom or knowledge. But you don't need that. This is not rocket science. This is simplistic. This is simple. I am a sinner, and Jesus Christ loves me, and He wants to save me, and He died on the cross to save me, and He rose again because He satisfied God's demands against me, and He's able to save me. I'm sure you can grasp that if you're there. Lazarus of Bethany. Lazarus was sick. Sick. Sickness, of course, is the consequence, the result of sin in the world. Not sin specifically. It can be, but generally, no. The fact that babies get sick and babies die often before they ever come near an age of understanding. No specific sin. Remember the blind man. Who sinned that he was born blind? This man or his parents? How did he sin ever before he came out of the womb? Of course it wasn't a specific sin on his part. You know, not only does sin bring physical sickness, and it does. All the physical sickness in the world is due to sin, in general, in the world. Not some special sin that you have committed, although I did say, it can be that, but generally it's just the result of sin in the world. And sorrow, and suffering, and death, these things, the consequence of sin. But Lazarus was not only sick, the picture is that we are sick in sin. And sin is taking each one down, down, down to an eternity of wrath and judgment. Death was eating away at Lazarus. It was in his veins. It was getting at him. And there came the day, of course, when it took him. But Lazarus was sick. Oh, I wish that we could all understand. If you're not saved, I wish you could really grasp. I wish tonight that you would be able at least to go away from here and say, the result of sin, and this time my sin, is that I'm going to die, not only physically, but I'm going to die the second death. What's the second death? Revelation speaks about the second death. And that is to be eternally separated from God. Death, of course, is a separation. If I were to drop dead here tonight, I would never go home to my wife and my family. I'd never return to my home. And if I was to drop dead here tonight, my body would lie here on the floor, but my spirit, my soul, immediately would be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm saved. It's a separation. But to die without salvation, to die without Christ, is to be separated from God eternally. And that's not life. That's the second death. It's an existence that is so terrible that it can only be described as the second death. But the Bible tells me as well that we are spiritually dead. And at the moment, let's think of it just in this way, sick. And the sickness of sin is taking me every day closer to death and to hell. Strange, isn't it? We never ask anyone, how young are you? Right from a little child, how old are you? Why? Because from the very moment that we're born, you know what's happening, don't you? We're getting older. And we're moving closer to the point of death. And death is a reality that we must face. None of us can avoid it. It stalks us. And it walks behind us, it moves in front of us, it jumps to the side of us, and no one knows that very moment when death will lay hold upon me, or you, and will be ushered out of time into the vast, endless, shores, ocean of eternity. Lazarus was sick. Do you sense, if you're not saved, do you sense your soul's sickness? I cannot put it any straighter than that. Sick in sin. With death, who knows how far away, but waiting for us. But I want you to understand this. Now, Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. But he loved Lazarus. And Lazarus is the one that we're concerned about right now. Because we're taking out Lazarus and we're going to put your name, my name in there. And we're taking out Bethany, we're going to put home where we live, where you live, where I live. It's me that's at stake. It's my life. It's personal. And I am sick. Thank God for the moment when I came to realize just how sick I was. And what the potential of my heart was. Oh, I hadn't done drugs and I hadn't done alcohol. And I hadn't got into robbing and attacking anyone. But within my heart there was the potential. And I could have reached the same depths of degradation if it wasn't that God had saved me when he did. And it's only his grace now that still preserves me. or to understand just how deceitful the heart is and how incurably sick my soul is. The heart is deceitful above all things, says the Word of God, and desperately wicked or incurably sick. Lazarus was sick. But Jesus loved Lazarus. Now the Bible tells me that Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you. Sometimes we sing that hymn, especially with children. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest part, that Jesus loves me. I know even in this vicinity here, I've seen people go by here. And some, I'm sure, feel that there's no one in this world cares about them and loves them. But I want to tell you that God loves you and Jesus loves you. And we said last week, and I want to repeat this, that even if you die in your sin and go out into eternity under the judgment of God, I believe that God will love you eternally. Just think of the awfulness of that. A God who loves me, and yet in one sense I've forced his hand to come in judgment against me because I've refused his love and despised his provision. Last of all, he would send them his own son. Maybe they will reverence him, and the Savior came. Did they reverence him? No, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. They put the Savior to death on Calvary's cross. What did the blessed Lord Jesus ever do to them? Fed them when they were hungry. Healed their sick. Gave sight to their blind. Even raised some of their dead. And what did they give him in exchange? They gave him a criminal's cross. And you know, people are still doing that today. Some people deliberately, outrightly scorn at the gospel and God's way of salvation. But you wouldn't do that. But is it possible that you would just pass it by? Jesus died. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died to save us from our sin. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. He's able to save sinners. But you won't say this audibly. It might be you'll say, but so what? That was 2,000 years ago. What's that got to do with me? What a tragedy. Jesus loved Lazarus. Then he came to the point when he said, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Not only dead in sins, but dead, dead, physically dead. Death one day will claim us if the Lord Jesus doesn't come for those of us who are saved. What I hope every true Christian has. It's the sky, not the grave, that's my goal. I'm waiting for the Savior, for the uptaker, not the undertaker. One to take me up, not put me down. But if one day I am put down, dead, I thank God that will just be my body. My spirit and my soul will already be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and that will only be my body temporarily. Until it's raised. Lazarus is dead. But the blessed Savior draws near. And he begins to say, here I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, or though he die, yet shall he live. dead spiritually. And came the time in Lazarus' life when he died physically, but the Savior said, even though he die, yet shall he live. And every true believer, should he or she come to that point of death, can do it in the blessed assurance that although we might die, yet shall we live. Oh, but what a privilege for those who are still dead in sins. Dead. But if we'll hear his voice, the hour is coming and now is, he said back in chapter 5, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And he said, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You're alive tonight. Will you believe in him? And never die the second time. And what's more, there's a day coming when Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will still be alive. And the Savior will come. And they'll never even die physically, but will be caught up to be forever with himself. Finally, Lazarus, come forth. You know, I believe that the Savior had to put Lazarus there. Had he stood at the mouth of that tomb? And had the Savior called out, come forth. Such was his power, I believe, that every dead one would have come forth. But he says, Lazarus, come forth. The Savior said, we saw last night, my sheep hear my voice. Have you heard the voice of the Savior? And then he said, I call them by name. He's calling you tonight. He wants you to come through himself. He wants you to believe in him if you've never done so, or that you might do that. Hear the voice of the Savior. It's not general. It's not just everyone. It is for everyone. But it's individual. You hear his voice. It's you he's interested in. It's you. The Savior wants you. You. Who am I? Who are you? The Savior wants you. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to respond to his call. And he'll bring you into everlasting life. Let's pray. Our Father, we bless thee for such power in our Lord Jesus Christ. That he could raise physically dead. Oh, that we bless thee for power to raise spiritually dead. Give us everlasting life. We ask for thy parting blessing. Thanking thee for our Lord Jesus Christ in his worthy name. Amen. Amen. In the green hymn book, hymn number 69, hymn number 69, in the little supplement book, sad the day when sinners turn away from light and love and everlasting day, to dark damnation, endless night of gloom, awaiting sinners just beyond the tomb. Now before we sing the hymn, let me remind you that there is no meeting tomorrow night. Lord's Day, Sunday, at 5 p.m, the final meeting in this series. We'd love you to come and bring every friend that you can. But above that, if you're not saved, if you're not sure of him, and trust the Savior. If you need any help, anything that you don't understand, we are more than happy to endeavor to help you. But remember, Clive can't save you, I cannot save you. It's Jesus Christ alone who saves. Let's sing verses 1 and 2, and thank you for your patience and your presence.